news time.
Keep your Bibles open. There are some differences. There's NIV and NIRV, but we're going to be going through the NIRV. But do you guys remember what it was like at the school athletics or swimming carnival? Maybe you still have them. Do you remember getting ready for the starting 100-meter whistle? Did you feel excited, nervous, dread? Or did you prefer to be somewhere else? I don't know whether you look forward to those days because it's a day off school, or you hate them because it means making a fool of yourself. Maybe you are really physically blessed, like Brody, so competing means a chance to make it to the finals and then a chance to compete against other schools in the area. I went to Snives North. Who went to Snives North? You! Well, I made it to the next stage. It was called Zone. And then if you won that, then you went to the state competition called Area. I made it to Area for long jump. And then I came dead last. I was so intimidated and I was so nervous. But at every stage in the athletics carnival, only the best make it through. Maybe you think of God and faith like this. That if you don't perform, you won't make the cut. That only the best make it through. Maybe you have a perfect 90 meters, but then you fall over right at the end, sucked in last. Or you're a bit eager and you jump off the swimming blocks a split second too early. Damn, disqualified. God is not like that. God is not trying to catch you out. He's not trying to whittle out the competition to find the best Christians who can love him the best and everyone else gets kicked out. Verse 30 in your Bibles shows us that everyone makes it to the next stage. If you have been planned by God, you will be saved. You are made right with God and you will be with him in glory. Nobody drops out. I hope today we can see that we can have complete confidence that we are saved and our salvation is not based on our performance, that we are locked in to salvation. We can see this confidence in verse 31 to 32. It says, what should we say then? Since God is on our side, who can be against us? God did not spare his own son. He gave him up for us all. Then won't he freely give us everything else? God is on our side. Like we saw yesterday, sometimes in suffering or hardship, it can be hard to see that. But God is for you. He is on your side. He's doing everything for your long-term spiritual good. And because he is on your side, nobody, nothing can stand against you. Like we've seen time and time again on this camp, we can have this complete confidence because of the powerful, beautiful work of the cross. If you're still a bit unsure of what we are on about at Christchurch, then this is it. This is the clear gospel statement. God did not spare his own son. He gave him up for you and for me so that he can give us all things because we are right with God right now. He has provided us everything already. He will not take his love away. It may feel like the worries in your life are the biggest problems anyone has ever had to face. It may feel like everyone is against you. And you are all alone. But God is for you. Nobody can stand against you. He is on your side. And the next verse shows us this again in verse 33. It says, who can bring any charge against God's chosen ones? God makes us right with himself. Then who can sentence us to death? No one. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also praying for us. He died. More than that, he was raised to life. Who can bring any charge? Who can sense? No one. We know the answers to these questions in our heads. No one can bring a charge, obviously. But sometimes it can be hard to feel that in our hearts. Sometimes we feel like we face accusation or charge after charge and accusation after charge from the people in our lives, people blaming us. maybe from a nitpicky parent who only ever talks about yet another flaw or mistake or something you haven't done right. Or sometimes we bring these charges to ourselves. We may be a perfectionist and strive hours after hours to meet this subconscious standard and idol in our head that we need to prove to ourselves that we really are good enough, that we can do it. But sometimes society as a whole brings charges to us. Like we saw in the first talk, sometimes we need to prove to ourselves that, and to everyone else, that we need to be funny to fit in. We want to fit in with the cool kids, or we want to seem pretty and popular. Maybe we are scared of being ourselves in case people think we are weird or boring. Or maybe we want to seem really smart, like we know it all to our friends. Or maybe our parents put pressure on us to perform as well. And sometimes we may face charges from Satan himself as he lies to us, as he deceives us, as he makes us doubt our salvation. He sneers and lies and he says to you, "You aren't deserving of God's salvation. You've just got to try harder. You really think he still loves you after all the sin you've done?" These are lies. If you are in Christ, no one can judge you. So repent. Turn back to God and feel the guilt lift off your shoulders. Taste the freedom that the cross provides. No one can judge you. Nobody can make any charge stick against you, not even your own charges. Feel the freedom that comes with that answer. No one can bring a charge of unloved, of guilty, of not good enough. You are loved. You are innocent. You are good enough in Christ. You are locked in to salvation. Now imagine if you copy your friend's homework. Your friend might forgive you and they might be okay with it. But what if your teacher isn't okay with it? What if they can still get you into trouble? But let's say maybe your teacher forgives you. But what if the principal of the school, they're not okay with cheating and they could still get you in trouble or a detention? Or imagine if they're okay with it, but it's the HSC and the Board of Studies. They're like, no cheating at all, and they could get you in trouble. But if they forgive you, if the person at the top forgives you and gives no punishment or judgment from your cheating, then you're okay. And it's the same with God. There is no higher person than God. He is the one who justifies and gives a verdict of forgiven, clean, perfect. Not your parents, not your friends, not even your leader. It's God. And because God is at the top, he is the one who actually should bring a charge against you. He is allowed to bring before all the charges and the judgments of sin. We have wronged him. But where we are expecting punishment, the very one who is meant to punish, he steps in and he takes it. And so if the only one who should judge does not, then who is left to bring any charge before us? No one. So what do you do if someone tries to make you feel guilty and insecure? Well, we can look to the cross. Focusing on God and on Jesus helps us to overcome the internal feelings of guilt and shame when people charge us. We focus on God and we focus on the work of Jesus. Jesus Christ is why we can have full confidence that these charges will not stick, because of who he is and what he has done. We can see that in verse 34. Where it says, Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also praying for us. He died more than that. He was raised to life. The focus is not on your thoughts and feelings. It is on Christ and Christ alone. He is the solution. He is sitting next to God praying for you, pleading for you. He died. He took all of your sins. But more than that, he was raised to life. The resurrection is crucial. Because it shows the work is completed. It shows the punishment has been paid. You can be certain that God is no longer angry at your sin. Because when he sees you, he sees the blood of Jesus washing you, cleansing you. Jesus died for your sins and he also died for your guilt. You are not left wallowing away in frustration and guilt. Because Christ has been raised. He has defeated sin and death. He rose gloriously and is seated at the right hand of God. He has been glorified in the resurrection, and we get to share in that glory. While Jesus sits at the right hand of God, he points at you and he says, "Wow, look at her. She's beautiful and perfect. She is clean. Look at him. What a man. I'm proud of him." They are locked into salvation. But we focused a lot on kind of the inward feelings like guilt and shame and judgment over the past 3 days and even today. And it may feel like people judging us, bringing charges to us, is the biggest thing in our life. And it may well be at the moment. There may be times where you may be excluded and neglected. But there may come a time in the future when words become physical. Or you may lose your future job for your faith. Or you might even be jailed because of the words that you speak as a Christian. And so when physical threats and impacts to our comforts come, it may seem like we are separate from God's love. But nothing social or physical or mental can separate us from God. We are so locked in. Even in the face of death, we can have complete confidence, complete certainty in our future. And we can see that Paul, the writer of this letter, he has that confidence in verses 35 and 36. It says, "Who can separate us from Christ's love? Can trouble or hard times or harm or hunger? Can nakedness or danger or war? It is written, because of you, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be killed." These are not just empty words by Paul. He faced all of these things and he rejoiced in them. He faced stonings and famines and danger. A casual read through the book of Acts can show us the trials that he went through. Paul suffered mightily because he realized that suffering is a reality of the Christian walk. And so many people around the world today are suffering right now because of their faith. We prayed for them 2 days ago. Christians are some of the most persecuted people in the world. Just look at North Korea, where you can face imprisonment and torture just for loving Jesus. Or how about this story about a man called Ganesh in Bangladesh? This was published on Open Doors, which is a website that documents persecution to Christians. It says, "When Ganesh came to faith in Christ, an uncontrollable joy struck him, and he simply couldn't keep it to himself. He began sharing the gospel with the people in his village, his friends, his neighbors. But Ganesh's predominantly Hindu villagers were not pleased with his faith or his boldness in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. They threatened to hurt him if he continued his gospel sharing endeavors. However, this didn't stop Ganesh. A few months ago, he was sharing the gospel with him. The morning went well, but when afternoon came, Ganesh found himself surrounded by angry Hindu villagers. They began attacking him, hitting him from every side with wood slats, throwing punches and kicks until he was on the ground. Ganesh suffered injuries on all his limbs and face and had to be rushed to emergency care. Ganesh struggled to speak after the incident because of the injuries on his face. He is currently living in a state of fear and panic due to the threat of impending persecution." Are you like Ganesh? Are you like Paul? Do you think suffering is worth it? It will be hard being a Christian. You will likely face suffering. Friends will likely leave you. Ryan's testimony last night was a testament of that. Friends will come and go. But do you have an uncontrollable joy that you simply cannot keep to yourself? If so, whether it leads to an earthly death or a loss of friends, nothing will be able to remove you from the presence of God, from his kind, gentle, loving embrace. Because if you are in Christ, you are conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We are more than winners. We have defeated all things. This is the reason why Ganesh went boldly out speaking the good news, because he knew that nothing can separate him from God's love. It's the reason why we can have hope. Nothing can separate us from God's love. We can see that in the final verses in 37 to 39. Paul says after speaking about death, he says, no, in all these things we are more than winners, and we owe it all to Christ who has loved us. I am absolutely sure that not even death or life can separate us from God's love. Not even angels or demons, the present or the future, or any powers can separate us. Not even the highest places or the lowest, or anything else in all creation can separate us. Nothing at all can separate us from God's love. That's because of what Christ Jesus our Lord has done. Nothing, not even death. We started the talks on a few days ago with a blanket statement about there being no judgment, no subconditions. There is no judgment. It's that simple. And we end with a catch-all blanket statement as well. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Look at all of the things that God's love defeats. We've spoken about death and persecution, but also angels and demons, the lies of Satan, the temptations of the flesh, of our selfishness. These can't separate you from God's love. Heights, no depths, nowhere you go can separate you. I hope and pray that this confidence, this certainty, that it stays with you. It's easy to feel hyped and excited on a Christian camp, but in 3 months, on a Thursday morning when you're feeling a bit anxious about a presentation you have to give, know that you are locked in. It doesn't matter about marks or what people think. Or in a year, if you don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend, know that you are deeply loved and known by God. It will be okay. When people at school laugh at you for being Christian, know that you are deeply loved and known by God. This confidence that we are locked in, it should cover every aspect of our lives. What you are going through now and what you are going to go through in the future, know that you are locked in. Whatever happens, you will not be separated from God's love. God's love is all-encompassing. It is so worth it. The love of God gives freedom. We do not need to worry about these things anymore. We can give them over to God and know that God has a plan for us. It is a good plan. God will use everything. God is unshakable. Nothing can defeat him. Nothing can remove you from God's plan. You are locked in. Amen.